Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
And we're back. Was it better the second time? It got you the second time. Wouldn't it be a real dickhead move if I was like, for those of you on Patreon, you'll know what that first thing was about. If you go, I don't have a Patreon, but I did a fake intro, guys, right off the bat, and I go, and we're back, and then Jared goes, okay, and I go, well, that's the new intro, but not anymore, because your response wasn't to my liking. How often do people in your life, Jared, do that to you when you say something funny? Do you have family members or friends that are kind of your yes man meet the my comedy gauge? And, you know, like, again, my Aunt Shirley, when I say I love you, she goes, all right. You know what I'm saying? So she's like not even wanting to meet me halfway emotionally. So for comedically... Well, go ahead.
I like it. I can't see you, by the way. Is that part of the deal here? Okay. Is that
keep going, Rashad will get it going, and just okay, let me know when you can see me.
I'm flying blind here, and I know exactly. It's a very Jewish response, and it's like the most honest. Like the Jews will give you a laugh, but they'll also give you the. Okay, sure. They just, I don't know what you're doing kind of word.
I don't know what you're doing, yeah. Can you see me now?
Yeah. No.
Jesus. What?
Keep going. This is what you're paying a studio for? Now I really sound like a Jewish uncle. To have this type of issue, I'm in my apartment at zero overhead. Yeah. And I'm seeing myself crystal clear. And on your end, you got a whole board and a guy in a booth. And I'm looking at the Cobra Kai signal on your screen for some reason.
There's 15 people in here trying to make.
Just running around with masks on, hazmat suits.
Are you double masking it in New York City? Or you were in Florida.
I am not.
Triple mask it?
No. I put one over my face and the other over my balls, and I just hope for the best. So I am double mask. No, I go one mask where I have to, and I'm kind of...
where you have to. I dig that.
Yeah, like if I'm walking outside, I'm walking outside. I would never shame someone for their mask policies, but I think it kind of go both ways. And like... Yeah. If you're walking down the street outside and I'm walking past you, I don't know. You know, that seems like we're okay. We're outside. It's like when people were talking shit about people on the beach earlier this summer. Mm. Now I can see you.
Great. The people on the beach early on are the true. Look, I'm not going to say those kids, college kids, high school kids are going to go on to do amazing things. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Just because
they're going to live life a little less stressful.
1,000%. Because you're never going to hear like, hey, do you know who just got, you know, Mike, who just got promoted at Google? Yeah. You want to see this video of him butt chugging in college? Butt chuggers, yeah. I will put money on it, will never go on to do amazing things. But I say that wanting to be wrong. But, you know.
But they live blissfully. They live blissfully
I
naive.
Know.
Like,
think
in
about
their
them.
Mind, they're not doing the double speak that we do on a daily basis. Like, you asked me about, am I double masking? And I'm like, you can do what you'd like. I can do what I'd like. And we're apologizing to the least nuanced group. And that group exists on both sides. And they just want to yell at you and get moral high ground on you. And it's like, at a year of this shit, and it's like these people, you used to be able to like kind of get past them, but right now they live in the land of like, you're killing people. And it's like, yeah, that'll always win.
Butt chuggers don't get stressed if somebody cuts in front of them at line, in line at the grocery store. If they lose their keys at the movie theater, they're like, I'll walk home, I'll Uber, I'll come. You know what? That wasn't my car to begin with type of mentality. It wasn't even supposed to be in my possession. There is like a freedom to the way that butt chuggers live that I guess.
Yes.
I'm now.
They've never gone back to their apartment to see if they left the oven on.
Well, they can't. They're upside down.
They don't.
Is there something equivalent to butt chugging that you would say was like a Jared Fried move in college or now even? Actually, here we go.
So,
give me the college one and then give me the adult. I'm somewhat clean myself up. Here's my new consistent move.
So I guess you're saying the thing that makes me a total animal, but like a grown animal versus a young buck.
Great question.
I would say in college we used to do this thing called table topping, mm-hmm. where someone would get on all fours behind you, and then you'd push them over your friend. And, you know, do you ever do that?
Is that like leapfrog?
No, it's like I'd be standing. You'd be at a tailgate, and I'd be standing, and then like someone would get on all fours behind me while I wasn't looking, and someone would push me over the friend.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
and
I do.
And then you'd fall over, and yes. your beer would fly in your face, and So what happened was because people were doing so much table topping, we used to walk around the tailgate. Kicking behind us, doing the horse kick, just to get people away from us.
Yeah.
And that was really the butt chugging thing. Just walking around a field with a beer in my hand, horse kicking, just in case one of my friends sneaks behind me to trip me over. Like, is there anything more juvenile? Like, that was my biggest concern, is that someone could get me, you know, during a tailgate.
Did you ever have anything go down for you or one of your classmates? Homies, friends that stuck with them the whole time.
What do you mean?
My friend shit her pants freshman year at University of Washington at a party and was deemed shit pants her name.
Ooh.
The rest of the 4 years.
We had one guy in our fraternity who our tailgate, we used to have these massive tailgates, and we'd get like a bunch of food because we all tossed money in, because it was like the whole fraternity tossed money in. And so we'd get this like spread, but the spread was so ridiculous. It wasn't your mom getting the spread. Mm-mm. It was a bunch of college kids on Friday skipping class getting the spread. So we'd get like essentials like chicken, like burgers, dogs, and we made this like homemade cheese dip. But then we'd have this table of like, we do theme weeks, and 1 week we got a cake, like a full cake. We were just like, nothing was funnier to us than just the fact that a full birthday cake would be there, like for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember someone got in their ideas that they should cake this one guy, just totally cake him. And like the idea of getting a full cake to the head at a tailgate when you're like planning on going to the game, like the day is ruined, but everyone else's day is hilarious because we get to watch someone get hit with a whole cake.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And also like that's kind of the excess of millennial college life. I think we grew up in this era of like, you go to college for the experience. Like that was like a big draw. Like you got to have the college experience. Like none of us really thought of like loans or money or anything like that, or that the financial bust would ever come. And we're like, yeah, go to school for the experience. So you'd have these people that were like, yeah, we could, let's buy a cake to throw at someone. Like there's no thought of like, well, people don't eat. Like, no one did that math, especially at a state school.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember we caked this one kid, and then he was so mad about it. The advice I'd give to, like, any of my children is never get mad in front of a group of people, because people will want to see you get mad again, because then we just caked this guy every single week to the point where it was like you'd have to hide the cake. And, like, it was one of those situations where he would never be in on the joke. He was always mad about the caking.
Oh, man. What flavor?
Yeah. We went all over the board. And then there were some times where you'd get, like, a bigger cake or you'd have a small cupcake. Like, the more the cake changed, the funnier it got for everyone but him. And to someone listening right now, they could be like, this is the douchiest, most asshole thing. And you'd be like, yeah, that's what college kids kind of do.
Oh, yeah.
There's nobody there, but there's somebody there. And I see ya. Hey guys, comedian Adam Ray here. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. I hope you're enjoying the episode, and I hope you're doing okay. It's a crazy, crazy time right now. And if you're a little uneasy, I get that. And I've also got the answer, Koi CBD. Say it with me, Koi CBD. Feels good, and it does feel good because I use all their products. I've been fucking with the fellas at Koi CBD since my circumcision, and I'll tell you this much, they're the best in the game, okay? Gummies, bath bombs, tinctures, joints, creams, oils. They got stuff for pets. Koi CBD has been giving the people what they need to feel better, to mellow out, to go to sleep right, to take away the aches and pains with the creams and oils, the bath bombs, make bathing just the best thing ever. You get a little radiation high from the balms. I don't know what's in it, but fucking goodness and just all sorts of, it's amazing, okay? It feels like drugs, and it's not, because it's CBD. So, if you wanna get these amazing products, and I know you do, because they got the Adam Ray stamp of approval, go to KoiCBD.com and put in the code ALN15 to get 15% off your first order. KoiCBD.com, the promo code ALN15 to get 15% off your first order. Do it today and start living and feeling the right way. And now, back to the episode.
You ever see Cake Farts?
The name is familiar to me.
It's a viral video. Viral video. It's a video that went viral. I don't know if its intent was to blow up the internet, but it. I saw it too many times. I want to say circa 2005, 2006, which I believe is Two Girls, One Cup territory. So there was a handful of, which by the way, that thing at one point I looked online, I was like, oh, it's been viewed more than Obama's inauguration speech.
And perfect.
Just if you want to know like truly where this country's, you know, priorities lie, it's like, look, yeah, we want things to move in the right direction. Everyone's excited about change and historical moments, but also like, this will probably never happen again. And you're like, are you talking about Two Girls, One Cup or Obama's inauguration speech? Well, both, actually. But yeah, it's a video that you should not go out of your way to find. But it's a girl sitting on a cake and farting away. And it's disgusting. You can't turn away. It's probably where OnlyFans was born. Because she didn't get paid for that. I don't think there were ads on the video. Wouldn't it be great if I remembered the ads? But she definitely...
Wouldn't it be great if she did get paid on it and there's this mansion in L.A. and you show up there for a party and you're like, who is this? It's Cake Farts.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a guy at the front who goes, welcome to Cake Fart Mansion. Who are you? I am James, the butler. Can I get you some cake? And you go, no, I'm good.
How about 30 years from now, this was all purchased on cake fart money. The whole cake fart institution, the Walton family that like has their,
kids.
This is the cake fart family. They, and like, my grandfather, his big thing was like, you know, whenever my grandfather loved hearing about rich people and loved, are they Jewish? That was his first question. Are they Jewish?
Check the boxes.
He wanted to know who, you know, he played the Adam Sandler game, but for like rich people. He wanted to know if people made money and if they were Jewish. And that was his greatest pleasure, was hearing that. And it's like just the idea that like, is the cake fart family Jewish? You know, like...
Did they pull a Lori Loughlin and pay off their?
did
you hear about the Cake Fart Kids? What the Cake Fart Kids? What happened? I thought that was a band. No. It's there's a couple kids that are going to the University of Texas. And their folks paid. Remember the girl in the Cake Fart video? So she's grown up. She's a mom now, and her kids go to U of A, and they got.
She's the granddaughter is actually, she's going to be in the next Iron Man. She's Ironheart. She's a great actress, actually. You know, when they do that thing where it's like, you know, when someone's like Rooney Mara, they do that with her where she's like, you know, like Rooney Mara, like, you know, everyone talks about privilege and tells someone you can make enough money to be, you can get rich enough to work your way out of the privilege conversation.
Yeah.
Like Blue Ivy wins a Grammy and everyone's like, this is so beautiful. And it's like, oh yeah, no one mentions that, like, you know, like there's some kid busting his ass trying to be in music videos, but it's okay.
No shit.
So Rooney Mara is like one of those people where it's like people are like, no, she's a great actress.
She comes from a lot of money, right?
Yeah, the Mara family owns the Giants, the New York Giants. Like, it's...
Whoa. Yeah, I don't...
Yeah.
I don't.
So it's like you either get... You have to... You can't be upper middle class in the world today. You can be billionaire, but just not Bezos. We hate Bezos. We can't know you're a billionaire.
No.
But we also can't know you're rich, but you and lived on the same block as us. It's a weird thing we're going through right now.
Yeah, we can't know you're a billionaire and you're not doing everything in your power to do everything and do all the stuff and
yeah.
Oh, you good, Rashad? Yeah, cool. Was that good? Yeah. Oh, great. Okay. I just heard a bubba. I heard a Bezos.
Yeah, it was a sound.
Did you hear that? It sounded like what the equivalent of like Bezos, if he could, like the way they did those Men in Black things in front of you. That was his way of knowing we're talking
shit. Shall not talk about the rich. You are done.
Maybe it was just like a warning. It's God. Wouldn't that be crazy that if Bezos could install some sort of thing where it's like if he's getting bad mouthed in any moment, and there's just a thing that goes off in your ear, yeah, your headphone, whatever, to let you know, like, you've been warned. You've been Bezos. Yeah, well,
I mean, I was kind of defending him, but I, you know, like.
Oh, me too. I think he's great.
I was kind of defending that. It would be funny that his name came up, and that was his chime in to be like, oh, listening.
Oh, what does he sound like? Do we know what he sounds like? Or is that a pretty good Bezos?
I've never heard his voice before. All I know is his bald head and like.
And his wife married a school teacher, which hopefully will be great for the school systems. But you go.
Yeah,
we just lost a couple of listeners. But I think there's something fun about.
Those Adam Carolla fans are exiting right now.
Adam Ray cares about the school system. There's a couple really fun things to do with billionaires who aren't in the public eye. Interview wise, right? Like Bezos, it's like for me, like that guy's voice. What you just did, you put a little British spin on it, and it's like, who's to say he doesn't sound like Jean-Luc Picard?
Of course, I did that this season on The Bachelor. There's a guy named Bennett, and he's actually a really good guy, but his face just looks the most Harvard you've ever seen.
Oh. Do you immediately judge that?
What?
Do you immediately judge that?
Yeah, I said his face. I go, Bennett went to my opening like review of him was Bennett went to Harvard, in case you can't tell by looking at his face. And it looks like he shut down a orphanage on the side of a ski mountain to create a new resort. Like that was like the immediate joke about him. And then anytime he would come on screen, he doesn't talk like this, but he actually like kind of played into the part of being this Harvard guy.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of appreciated him. Like I liked him. And then anytime he come in, I'd be like, oh, well, Mumsy took us to school, but the butler would drive. And I would do this whole voice for him. And he ended up like becoming a huge fan and coming to shows. Like he came to a show of mine in Tampa and he was cool with it. But like you can create for any, especially with rich people, you can create any character you want. And people are just pumped to make fun.
Oh yeah, so that guy was one of how many
32 men that was on the Claire season, and then it switched to Tayshia's season. But he went pretty far, Bennett.
Do you put money down on these guys, or is it all just shits and giggle bets?
I'm investing my career in this show. I yell at it every Monday night on my Instagram stories.
I know. It's amazing. And it's honestly, it's the reason the show should stay on the air.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
What I love about it is it's an event that people tune into live. So, and I can make it my own by yelling at it and, you know, making jokes. And I add TikToks on there with my face on to inanimate objects. And it's become, you know, so I am invested in the popularity of the show because I want it to do well so that I do well.
It's brilliant. I used to, on the road late night, do that for infomercials, right? I would just.
I remember.
Oh, cool. And a few of them I would do and just be, you know, sometimes you're dialed in on a rant or a whatever where you're like, man, I got in all the right jokes. The right things happened on screen that clicked in perfect time with my brain. And I got about 40 to 50 seconds of really funny stuff. And and that's always cool. And then you see people's response to that. And I'm sure that's what happened, right? You probably started doing it a few times for fun, and then people were like, oh my God, right? And then like, did that make you have to invest even more so, or were you already invested from the get-go, or was it truly just for fun?
It started as dudes watching rom-coms,
right?
And I would do it for rom-coms.
Oh, that's even better. Wow. And you still do that?
But I would do it if I have a Patreon thing. If I get to a certain amount of subscribers, I'm gonna do,
dude. I would love to join on that because there's love me a good rom-com, and so many I've just now started to see because of my girl. Like, I'd never seen Failure to Launch.
We should do that, dude. We should do this as a show at a movie theater, and we do it like
We
do it like.
I'm so down. I did this.
How much fun?
With Corolla, actually, he did the show. He only did it like four times, and we did it twice in Arizona, where we watched old 80s movies, right? And one was.
Oh, and he's big on that.
And we would go through, but stop and start. And one of them was with Stallone, so I kept starting and stopping, and then I just started doing Stallone, doing like, you know, telling stories about whatever was the time when I remember we were on set, and I started improvising. And so it was like, and then we'd stop, but we were just basically doing commentary over the whole film. Dude, it was awesome. You and I would murder that, dude.
We should do it because I right now I have it for, what's what's the one I said I would do? I would do the, where she's the Princess of Zenobia. Princess Diaries.
Yeah.
So I would do Princess Diaries. And
is that what you would do? I love that, by the way, I paused and said, oh, like I actually fucking thought I knew what you were talking about. But Princess Nobody, I was thinking of Neverending Story, but I'm like, not a rom-com. But there's probably someone out there being like, dude, Valcor and Atreo, we're going to fuck. We just didn't get to see them in the credits. And you're like, touche.
Yeah.
All right, so Princess Diaries, that's Julie Andrews and Anne Hathaway?
Anne Hathaway, and she's, and that one's a fun one because there is some ridiculous parts in there. And another Corolla guy, the comic, he's in there as the makeup artist, or he was in Seinfeld. He's like a very, he's been around forever.
Love it. Yeah, do you enjoy the Hallmark, Lifetime?
I've watched a couple of them. They're just too, they're so written for women. Like with a lot of these rom-coms, like because they're so written for women like I it's hard to get into. Like the rom-coms at least have that like one doofy friend that like is literally written for me to connect with the movie. So like at least I can have that. The Hallmark movies, I remember I watched one where a guy was living next door and he snuck in the house and he just like grabbed her underwear out of her drawer, and you're supposed to be like, oh, this guy's a creep. And it's like, if that guy was willing to break in for the underwear, he's not just grabbing it and going. Like, I was sitting there being like, he'd have them on. He'd be eating them.
Yes.
He'd be, you know, like wearing them on his face while putting on her lipstick. Like, the idea that it was just
a grab of
the underwear.
Yeah.
And that's all he needed.
He was treating it like he was at the gas station and went back for gum. It's like, no, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what you were in there for. So stop.
This is,
take a beat. Enjoy the moment. Smell the roses.
At that moment, you know this is written for a woman to, like, enjoy, not for, like, any truth to be, like, in here, you know?
Now, what
is the truth would be too gross.
Were you hoping, though, that if he elongated his stay, that he was going to get caught by the mom? And then she'd be like, well, since you're here. Because that's where my brain goes.
Sure. I mean, that's the problem with dudes watching rom-com is like when I would do these, and now my girlfriend will like sit with me while I do them. And like, I used to sometimes you go into your dude animal brain where you're like, oh, like at some point I'll be like, wow, this woman is gorgeous. And then the bit I do now is I just keep going on and on about how beautiful this one woman is to the point where it's like gotten gross and just waiting to see when my girlfriend will get annoyed and be like, shut up, it's enough. And people fucking love it. So it's like these bits have kind of formed.
Yeah. Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by 5-4 Clothing and the Menlo House. If you know anything about me, you know that I like clothes. I love to buy them. I love to wear them. That's what they're for. And you only look good if you feel good, right? That's where 5-4 Clothing comes in. I've been fucking with 5-4 Clothing for years now. They got this company, Menlo House, that's got 5-4, New Republic, Grand Running Club, and Melrose Place, all under the Menlo House banner. And it's a baller clothing company for dudes. They've got t-shirts, shirts, jackets, sweaters, jeans, pants, shorts, activewear, shoes, accessories, and more. And what you do is you give them your sizes, okay, your fit and your style, and they curate the perfect package for you and send it to you monthly. If you want to join the club, the Menlo Club monthly, it's $59 a month, and you get over $240 worth of apparel. Again, it's the shit. There's other brands out there and companies that do this, but I only fuck with the Menlo House because, well, they're the best. You know, the clothes always fit me perfectly, and I always get compliments on the jackets, the shirts, just got some new hoodies and pants, and they fit me to a T, and that's what you want in your clothes. So, got a special deal for you guys right now. If you go on over to themenlohouse.com, M-E-N-L-O house.com and use the promo code 40menlo ALN, you're going to get $40 off your first month for your discount package, okay? $40 off the first month. And that includes the Arrowhead button-down plus the Cali Chinos and more. So go to themenlohouse.com, use the promo code 40menlo ALN, 40menlo ALN, and get $40 off your first month, all right? Start looking good and feeling good, and you can't do that unless you're in 5'4 clothing. Is there something during the pandemic, Jared, that you, that you learned about yourself now that we're, like, on the upswing of it? I mean, you just being in Florida doing sold-out shows, like, that wasn't happening fucking a month ago, right?
It happened a month ago.
Oh, it did happen a month ago. All right, so
that was
all right. We'll edit this out. So, Jared, what's your favorite color?
Well, that's the thing. Well, that's the thing of like I don't. I've abided by the laws of every state that I've done shows in.
So, great.
And every state is different. We live in Europe now, and even the sensibilities are different. Like I went to Des Moines, Iowa, and it felt like I was in Amsterdam. They were just like caution to the wind in bars having, and it's like. It's nice that we're connected through social media, but like it's not, you only get to look at people's lives through a keyhole. So like the thing I've seen, like where it's like Florida, my parents live in Florida and they see people in wheelchairs inside of restaurants at tables of 10. So how do I expect my parents to feel, the same amount of fear as New York people who are walking around like they're in a bread line? Like so it's like you're a product of your atmosphere. And it's, it's interesting. Cause like we were talking about the beaches in the beginning with the butt chugging, like people would go look at these idiot Floridians on the beach. And then I was on the beach and I'm looking up from the water and you look at the perspective and it looks like everyone's, humping each other. But because on a beach, if you've ever taken a picture on a beach, that's how it looks. They could be 6 feet apart. But if you take a picture from the water up, the perspective makes it look like they're on top of each other. So it's easy to sit in New York and go look at these fucking idiots because you get to feel like you have moral high ground. You get to. And when the reality is this year has shown us that there's tough conversations that we can have with people we know. So you can talk to your uncle, dad, brother, sister who voted differently than you, that disagrees with you politically. But instead, a lot of people choose the easy route of trashing someone that they see that they went to college with 20 years ago. That's an easier thing. So I actually put out a stand-up special, and it's all about the social anxieties like that of 2020. It's basically because I'm not a political person, but it's like you're kind of forced into this political conversation with everything.
Yes, it's impossible to not address if you are I don't want to say a true comic, but if you are someone who's doing it consistently enough to where you are not immune to what's happening around you, it's impossible to not address it in some form. Brilliant move on your part to do the special called Socially Distanced,
of course.
Yes.
And it's all about just like the social stuff of 2020. I put it out because I had like 20 minutes of material and I was performing on street corners in New York and doing the outdoor shit. And I was like, you can't just go, just like you're saying, you can't just go on stage and be like, so dating, huh? Like, no, there's a global pandemic. You sound like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. And if you do say so dating, huh? Talk about the stories of your friends that that are Zoom dating, or I had a buddy that went on a Zoom date. And then she pulled it back to, hey, you know what? Actually, after about the 5 minute of Zoom, she was like, let's go outside. And he was like, fuck yeah, I love that we're taking this up a notch. Maybe, who knows, maybe there's, an in-person, maybe we'll get real close. And she's like, do you mind standing on the other side of the street and we'll FaceTime each other? And he was like, this is not going to work for me. Like, this is not going to be our story.
I mean, I talk a lot about dating on my podcast, and the central theme of this year is like you're getting to know people quicker, whether you like it or not. Like you are put face to face with, are we compatible in a very serious,
in the ultimate of,
conversation way?
Yeah,
this is having a baby. This is where, what type of birth control? This is minute one you're learning about someone's. Basically risk tolerance, because that's been the hardest part of this, is you're mixing risk tolerances.
Yeah, because there's got to be people out there, like a guy that's maybe a little overly cautious, and he's like, look, I don't want to, let's really kind of take it slow. And then all of a sudden maybe she's like, well, I just want to come over and bang it out right now. And then he goes, you know what? Yeah, like if we wear a mask, that's cool. And then she's like, well, maybe no masks. Or maybe she gets over there and she goes, yeah, sure. Cool, mask. And then he gets so into it, he takes his mask down. And then she goes, that was a test. You failed. You know, this is not, again, and then he's like, what the fuck's going on? And, you know, so there's.
Well, that's the other thing that's been going on this year is a lot of people creating a world of rules where they happen to just so happen to just check off all the good parts. Like, you know, like where they go, you know, we got, look at those people without their masks, and then they have their masks on. They're like, yeah, I had it in January. I think I had the sniffles. And then they're like, oh, okay, so I guess you're a good person and everyone else is a bad person based on the rules you just wrote on the fly. You know, oh, look at these assholes leaving New York. Oh, I'm in the Hamptons, so I'm still technically in New York.
Yeah,
and it's
okay,
everyone's good on their, you know, list of things.
I had a guy in Dallas this past week and hug me after the show and then go, it's all good. I'm getting vaccinated on Tuesday. I go,
yeah, I guess it's all good.
Yeah. All right. Hey, why don't you open your mouth? You know,
I had a guy, he goes, can you believe people are traveling right now? And I'm like, yeah, I can believe it. You know, listen, everyone makes their own choices. And if you wear the mask and you do your testing and, you know, I'm just trying to take care of me. And he goes, yeah, I just can't believe it. It's just crazy, man. And I'm like, yeah, so what are you up to? He goes, I had to come to New York, but for business. And I'm like, okay, well, what the fuck? Like,
hey,
you know, this is what's going on. And it's like, you know what? And again,
wait, what kind of business was he trying to close that big cake fart OnlyFans YouTube channel?
The
deal?
Cake fart family has put me in charge of the trust, and
I've got to go to New York.
I tried
to do it over Zoom.
Commission.
yeah, we had to be here live in the flesh. The cake fart family, their lawyers are very. Determined to.
Well, and it's one of those things where it's like someone could listen to this conversation and go, well, Jared is this now, so now I have pushed him. And it's like, no, I'm just trying to be as reasonable as possible and work and try to, like, you know, live a life while also being respectful.
Last time I saw you, I don't think we'd I think things that were not shut down at. You had just actually, yeah, no, things were very open last time I saw you.
Well, they were open.
Yeah.
I came into the studio. We talked some shit.
That's right. That was awesome. And that was, so is there something from all this creatively that you've learned personally? Obviously, like you said, you and your girl got closer, right? I mean, I got engaged through this.
We moved in. You got engaged?
Yeah. So it's like you said, if you're in something, you're going to get closer or fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to, you know, get it going, like you said, it's like you have, it's the toughest way to see if you're gonna be compatible or not. Like, red flags are probably, you know, hopefully on the table from the get-go.
We moved in together and it's been great, and I'm like loving, you know, like we have a great apartment, it's nice.
What about you has changed that you love about it, or for the better,
about
that's
me?
Just improved?
That you, I like, I don't know, I don't really like anything. I would say that
you sleep more,
this,
you know.
What's that?
Do you sleep more? Are you more like present? Like, is there something that she's brought to the table?
No, I'm more anxious.
Yeah.
I'm less present.
Great.
This has been a mess.
Yeah.
You know, like if anything, I'm thankful for, like, anytime someone was like, why are you doing that? I ended up being, it was the right move. Any work I did leading up to the pandemic that I was like, is this worth it? Everything was worth it, because when like shit hit the fan and people were like, what are you going to do now? I was like, I'm just going to do the shit I've been doing. I'm going to yell at The Bachelor still. I'm going to yell at, you know, like, and I'm going to do my podcast every day instead. And I'm going to, I'm going to put out more stuff, and I'm going to concentrate on the things I can control. I think that's the big thing, where it's like, you know, you're going to, everything you do or put yourself out there to do, someone's going to go, what? You're doing what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, dude. It's I mean, do you remember the first moment you put something up on YouTube? And go, wow, all right, here I go, gonna push this on my friends and strangers and family. And at least for me, it was like the small circle I had and the email list to be like, all right, let me try to start letting them know that I'm doing this by sending this to them, but also trying to get an initial gauge on, like, hey, am I on the right track with whatever bullshit I'm doing here? Like, hoping I get some responses yeah. back that aren't just like, funny or take me off this list. You're like, it's the first one. Yeah. Which happened. Which happened for sure.
Dude, I take me off this list is the most hurtful one.
Oh, dude, and I got those. I would get those because I would really accumulate quite a few emails over the first, you know, graduating in 2005 from 06 to, I'd say, 2010 from improv mm-hmm. class, acting class, you know, working at Universal Studios, the just comics, whatever. And then you start to realize don't throw people that are peers in. Don't throw other comics in on your email list for your new sketch and stuff. Because they're just
don't
like,
don't do this to yourself.
Yeah. They're like, why the fuck wasn't I in it? Also, like, I don't care that you're doing cool shit. Like, but to take you off the list.
Well, that's the thing. When you get a BCC email, it's like, what are you trying to brag to me? Just send this right to me?
Yeah. Yeah, take me off the list is equivalent of like when you saw yourself get rotated out of somebody's MySpace top eight. You're like, dude, you don't
falling
even
off the face of the earth.
Like, you don't even know Hillary Clinton. Why are you putting her in there? So the special, how different was it? First of all, I haven't watched it in its full entirety, but all the clips you posted are fucking great. You're just
a
great comic, and your energy, your joke. You have all the. I just saw Mark Norman in Dallas after one of my shows, and you're in the same boat as far as like. Your guys are just dialed into like who you are, your joke style, your delivery. You're likable. It's like you're checking all the boxes. So,
dude, thank you so much. Yeah, that's way too kind.
No, man. So to do something really specific like this too is also smart because you're like, yeah, I might still always be able to have a couple things that if you are talking about dating moving forward and be like, it's not, you know, it's mm-hmm. like during the pandemic, you could probably always reference this time. I don't think you have to shelf life the time of what we're going through. But, yeah, it's definitely more pertinent now than it will be. And I think the fact that we are kind of coming out of it more or less, people are in a spot now more than they were 2 months ago to laugh at what's happening. Don't you think?
Yeah, I was looking at it like, listen, I hope this material is aged out in a year from now.
Totally.
I hope.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, I hope. And then I started seeing jokes like when I was doing shows like around New York where you'd see like my breath smells in the mask joke. And you're like, hey, I'm starting to rehear some of these things. And I'm like, okay. Why don't I get out with this? And I've never put any stand-up out really like this. I've put out an album, but it was like, I was like, I got 35 minutes. I got 30 minutes. I'll put in some interviews. We'll zhuzh it up a little bit. And it's a piece, you
yeah.
know? Like, it's like a, it's, and then I was like, you know, I really was like, I really do feel strongly about empathy. And I think there's also so many people like I'm so not political and so not on either side of things because I have parents that are more conservative. I have friends that are more liberal and I kind of want to pick and choose. I think belonging to a party is kind of an insane thing. And so when all of this stuff became politicized, I was like, oh, I think there's a lot of people thinking like I'm thinking. I was like, I think I'm talking about something in a way that people are actually afraid to even say, because when you're not right or left, there's no team that cheers for you. There's nobody that's out there on social media, because when you're on social media, it's I love or it's I fucking hate. Mm. There's no like, you know, like no one does that post. That post doesn't get retweets. So if you can come out. So with the special, I was like, I'm walking a tight wire of I really think people should be able to go out and work as respectfully as possible towards other people. And it's like when you say that, they go, well, what does that mean? And I go, well, if you can wear the mask and you keep your distance, I think a restaurant should be able to, you know, be set up in such a way where they can warn you before you walk in. And at least they can let people walk in who want to walk in and have people not walk in who don't want to walk in. And when you talk that way, someone in the corner goes like this. Little thumbs up. They're like, cool, man. Yo, I'm like same wavelength. But they don't go to everyone, fuck yeah! Like, that's just not a position.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Ooh, baby. Look, sleep is something we all do. duh, you know that. You might be sleeping right now because of this ad. Well, look, I know some of you are sleeping on some saggy-ass mattresses. Old saggy bags, sleep Sammy, at night, right? Or in the daytime. And look, you deserve better than that. So give yourself an upgrade. The only mattress I sleep on, and I'm fucking dead serious, is the Helix mattress, all right? It's the comfiest, firmest, softest, everything you want in a mattress. You know why? Because you take the Helix sleep quiz that they offer. It takes 2 minutes, by the way. It's a quick-ass quiz. And they match your body type and your sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you so that when you sleep, you're locked and loaded and just get to go into dreamland and think of, you know, things like grinding on Katy Perry or, you know, streaking at a baseball game, but like your dance moves and the way you slide into home plate is so cool that like they actually give you a uniform and let you like bat. You know what I'm saying? Like the best sleep. You shouldn't buy a mattress made for somebody else, all right? Helix has soft, medium, and firm mattresses, and even mattresses that are great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. And I'm a hot sleeper, which sounds like a humble brag, but I actually fucking toast up, and I'm always needing to declothe. Prove it. Easy, perv. So having a mattress that cools you down is ideal for me. I took the Helix sleep quiz, and I was matched with the Queen. It's the California Queen mattress. And I wanted something that felt soft, medium, and firm. And I want to sleep on my side, my back, my stomach, and move around like we all do, right? No one's stuck in one spot unless you're a vampire. So look, if you're looking for a mattress, take the quiz. Order the mattress that you're matched to. And the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. Who doesn't love that? And you don't ever need to go to the mattress store again. Because mattress stores are lame. No one's meeting anyone cool. You know what I'm saying? The guys who sell the mattresses at the store are like car salesman, but creepier. They're like, so yeah, how do you like to lay down? You're like, easy, Gabe. So just go to helixsleep.com/about last night. Slash about, and take the 2 minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress and give you the best sleep of your life. There's a 10-year warranty, and you can get to try it out for 100 nights risk free, and they'll even pick it up from your fucking house if you don't like it. That's service right there. But guess what? You're gonna like it. So again, Helix is offering up to $200 off, up to $200 off of all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/about. Did you hear that? Up to $200 off. Helix is offering up to $200 off of all mattress orders and two free pillows for my listeners at helixsleep.com/about. That's helixsleep.com/about for up to $200 off and two free pillows. Why are you waiting? Go do it now. Get into it. Love it. Do it. Live it. Bye.
And so all these things, like, you know, I'm talking about the way people speak to you, where they're defending themselves. That's why it's called socially distanced, of course, where people will say, yeah, I went to a barbecue. It was socially distanced, of course. You're defending yourself against a person who's trying to get you.
I know.
You're not defending yourself against me. When someone says that to me, I'm like, you don't have to fucking, so I'm not Big Brother here. And it's like all of us, and it's like those people, the person that's like kicking and screaming at Walmart gets publicized, but there's less of them and there's more of us just trying to eat, sleep, fuck. That's all we're trying to do, and we're trying to do it comfortably with a little extra shekels in our pocket. So that's how I'm talking. And I'm like, when I had all that material on that, and I'm like, well, I'll put it out there. Let's see who agrees. And it's been like glowing, the response.
By the way, eat, sleep, fuck were the rival cereal trio to Rice Krispies, Snap, Crackle, and Pop. That just didn't have the right backup.
You're right.
The financial support wasn't there. They had the cake. The heir to the cake farts was supporting Snap and Crackle.
Eat, sleep, and fuck got so coked up that they really never got into the industry. They really couldn't get it together.
Also, let's be honest. Rice Krispies ain't anything special. You know, it could always use a little bit more toppings.
Eat, sleep, fuck
was just all flakes. You know, and it's like, yeah, dude, you need something, whether it's berries or candied yams. Go ahead.
Well, Rice Krispies, any cereal that you put a side of sugar next to it is a bad cereal.
Yeah.
You would serve it with sugar.
Yeah, don't put it there being like, look, man, we're going to put this here. You're probably going to put it on. We're just we're letting you know how bad it is by itself by just putting this giant jar next to it. And you're like, what am I supposed to do with that? And you're like, you know, fatty.
Yeah, you're going to do it, you fucking loser. Yeah, that's why French toast always beats waffles or pancakes.
Yeah.
It's that's just the way it works, people. If you disagree with that, you can email me at gofuckyourself@gmail.com.
Before we got a few more minutes here, I do want to piggyback on that point, which I love, of the people defending themselves being like, and this just lets you know the shortage of things to talk about. And when you do find yourself in when you have rolled the dice or put yourself in a social situation, you're like, all right, how much have I really been doing? What do I have conversation-wise to bring to the table? Man, that book club ain't, there's not a lot there. I've been sitting around with my dog, you know, and so then they have to be like, well, I could tell you about this bar. A lot of crazy shit went down on this barbecue. I've got 5 stories in the barbecue bit, but if I bring it up, I'm going to have to quickly be like, but I'll take, everybody wore masks. Nobody looked anybody in the eyes when we told the stories.
And it's so frustrating because it's like, we're all going through this at the same time.
I'm not going to judge it.
All of us know the rules. Yeah. So I'm going to assume that a friend of mine is following the same respect guidelines as me. Like, the fact that we're assuming that anyone we spend days with or are friends with would ever assume the worst of us is crazy.
Yeah.
It's actually crazy. So, yeah, it's I'm like, I'm not even passionate about it, but I am. Like, I just can't understand. And then it's like, if you want to yell at me, if you want to ask me if it was socially distanced, go talk to your dad. I don't need to fucking talk to you. Go talk to your dad, ask him who they voted for, and have a nice discussion over Thanksgiving.
Speaking of which, who are you voting for in 2024? Do you know yet?
The Rock. I'm voting for The Rock to get another season order on your TV show so we can keep that Adam Ray bank account growing.
Oh, dude, let's just... Well, A, I'd love to be on TV as much as possible, and I'd love, and I've said this publicly, to look into whatever it takes to get those Vince McMahon Popeye arms going, because this is 82, 83 Vince we're looking at, so he's filling out the suit well.
Yes.
Yeah, I got with a trainer for a couple months. Yeah, I beefed up a little bit. Yeah, I was feeling pretty good. Did I need to go full on HGH? No, that's not what he was then. But everyone thinks of Vince at any time in the mid-late 90s, which I don't know if we would skip right to that in season 2. I bet it would still be mid to late 80s to where he starts to become more of the part of the picture. Still jacked up. But, man, like, who knows?
I want to petition for something.
Please.
Can I play Shane, your son? I want to play Shane O'Mac. I want to play from the mean streets of Greenwich. I want this. I need this.
I've got some pull. We'll see. You know, I'm going to the Atlanta Punchline at the end of May, and you know, DJ and I have locked in some time to kick it during that time. So if that happens, I will put it out there in the universe, in his universe, that I got a buddy who loves The Bachelor and loves this world that you have made a life in.
Well, he's tweeted at me a couple times. I know. So did you meet him before the show?
No. We met through Instagram.
And that's how he found you for the show?
I mean, no. We became homies before the show, like just through Instagram, then text. Then he posted some of my shit. And then it was just like, kind of a loose thing like that. And then, yeah, getting the show took everything up a notch.
But it's such a weird thing.
I got the audition separate from that. And then, yeah, I'm sure it didn't hurt that we had a little bit of rapport going, you know.
Of course.
But also, he's not – I wholeheartedly believe that I didn't get it because of that. Because, look, at the end of the day, like, especially someone in his position, and for a role like that, he's going to pick who he – thinks is the best for it. Even when I went in, you know, what I'm saying, like, so. Or
listen, dude, I live in that. I'm in the mindset of, and my dad always said it to me growing up, and he says it to me to this day. It's nothing personal. It's just money. So The Rock puts you in his show to win,
right,
to make money. He doesn't put you in the show because he thinks it will make it a worse show. There are no favors in anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's I even asked Paul Feig that once after the Heat. I was like, man, I know some of these bigger dudes that I went up against. And he was like, I go, why? He goes, well, A, I didn't need somebody, you know, famous for that part. I was like, for sure. And there's a different way you could have said that. But he goes, no, he goes, you were the funniest that came in. And I was like, oh, cool. And, you know, in my eyes, I forgot that that was even a consideration because I'm just like, I don't know, the amount of things I'd lost out on to guys with just stacked resumes that I'm
sure.
Like, which, by the way, I know that also factors in. I just, because it's also an experience thing. There was a job I lost out on when the guy had, I mean, his IMDb was, could not, I mean, you know, needed a second. You got to scroll down. And it was just backlogged for like 15 years. And you go, yeah, that guy, yeah, he should, like, only a handful of things for me. So what do you, who are you going to trust, you know? But are you sending in tapes? Are you going out for things during this time?
No. Yeah. I'm not an actor. It would be disingenuous.
I watched the clips from the special and just your overall demeanor and even just on the pod, I'm just like, you know, you're honing in, you know, what you are and have to offer so much that it you know.
If someone came to me and was like, and I would have to work 30 times as hard just to be okay at it, but like I appreciate what you're saying, but like I would go into an audition with Paul Feig and I'd be like, the whole time I'd be going, I love heavyweights, man. I love heavyweights so much. I remember you as the counselor.
Yeah.
And I would pray that would be enough to get the part, is that I was the only one that came in knowing he was in heavyweights. And that
I don't think it would hurt your chances, because I brought that up pretty early too. But I was already on set.
So you already had the job.
I waited, yeah. yeah. But then we just geeked out all about it. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for everyone right now. We're all challenged in finding a day-to-day routine that makes our lives consistent and awesome. And if there's something that's interfering with your happiness right now or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp is a professional counseling service online, private, and it's so convenient. I've used it for a little bit now. It's truly the only way that I've found to help get my own issues dealt with on my own time, at my own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text, with your licensed professional counselor right now. They're specialized in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief or relationships, sleeping, which I have a lot of trouble with, trauma, self-esteem. Anything that you share with them is confidential. And guess what? If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge. There's 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states, available worldwide. And again, there's 4 ways to communicate with them: text, chat, phone, and video. Can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's available on any desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. Schedule a video or phone session, generally weekly, unless your therapist schedules more, unless you just are really not sleeping and need to get some additional chats in. There's broad expertise in the network, which may not be locally available in many areas. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional. And above all, it's affordable, all right? It's truly the most affordable option I've found. So right now, all ALN listeners are going to get 10% off your first month with a discount code AboutLastNight. So why not get started today and start making some changes for the better in your life? You deserve it. So go to BetterHelp.com/AboutLastNight. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you'll love. That's BetterHelp.com/AboutLastNight. BetterHelp.com/AboutLastNight. And get 10% off your first month with promo code AboutLastNight. And now, back to the episode. Have you watched?
I said that to Judd Apatow once. I was on his, I was hosting at the Cellar, and I'll never forget it because Judd goes to the Cellar a lot. So, like, by now, like, we're on Head Nod. you know, we're like I'll give a head nod, and I think he acknowledges the head nod.
Yeah.
So, but I brought him on stage a bunch of times. This isn't meant to be a name drop at all. It's because I'm working at the Cellar,
yeah,
and you just happen to meet these people. So I remember the first time I was going to bring him on stage, I looked at him, I go, dude, I just have to say, Heavyweights is like one of my favorite movies of all time, and I'm not saying that like ironically or anything like that. And I'll never forget, he goes, pretty dark movie for Disney, huh? And I was like, whoa, never thought of it that way. That was a Disney movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Derek Poston is a great comic, and he's on King of the Sting a bunch, and lives now, I think, in Austin. But we started doing this run of ALN, Spoil the Beans, his movie review podcast, crossovers, where we were just doing Disney movies and getting real baked and breaking them down. And we broke down Blank Check, Heavyweights, and I think Santa Claus was next, and then he moved. But
Blank Check is a great one to do.
Whoa, dude, there are some moments. The whole movie, dude, we had an hour was not enough time to break these things down. But in Heavyweights, it's so funny because there's so many things, and the way Stiller treats these guys, and even the dad, the opening scene, the dad brings in a guy, almost like an intervention guy, to be like, you know, and he's like, hey, you're too fat to even like be on the bus. And she's like, what? It's 6 a.m. What the fuck? Who are you? First of all. And dad's like, hey, shut up, fatty. And he's like, what? And he's like, this is for your own fat interest. And he's like,
yes.
And it's just very abrasive right out of the gate to get you to be like, I want this kid to win. And I hate that he's going to camp. But then the camp seems great. They've got this classic, you know, Disney actor
the
dad.
The Stillers.
And the Stillers are there, yeah, that own the camp. But it is a little dark. And you go, yeah, man, there's no way that movie's getting made today because it's body shaming.
I mean, the idea that they have they seemingly have a camp salesman show up at the house. Like the person that comes to your house to show you the camp usually is connected to the camp.
Yeah.
Like that guy who came to the house was just a guy, like he was just selling widgets. He's like, yeah, I always think of that scene because I think of that guy showing up the house, be like, it's for the fat camp one. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, we're selling fat.
he was
nothing to do with the camp.
He was this close from being like, hey, so you know those shows where like they break into kids' rooms in the middle of the night and the parents have arranged for us to kidnap them and take them to the facility to where they can better their lives and turn their shit around? We were going to do that with you, but you're too fat to pull out of your bed. So we're just going to – we just woke you up, rolled you down the stairs, and just want to tell you face to face.
That he goes, I'm not fat. You're fatter than me. He looks at the dad and goes,
I love that you remember that line, dude. That's unbelievable. He's like, you're fatter than me. Why don't you go to the camp? And his dad's like, fuck you.
Such a great kid Disney line. You're like, yeah, get him.
Disney kids in the 90s fought back, and that's one thing that if I do you know, support The Rock in his presidency, I'm going to definitely get in his ear being like, make sure that the 90s Disney kid attitude comes back. Because, look, not to say that I would even watch some of these, you know, kid Disney shows now, but I look at my nieces and nephews, what they're watching, it's not that shit. You know, they're watching the kid test out toys and watch other kids playing Fortnite, which is just
we should remake Heavyweights. I'll be the fat counselor in the broken down go-kart with that touching scene where he's like doing the fake go-kart, and then
there's a whole dad element to this story too that you forget about. Yeah. I mean, it's like Disney, the Disney divorce element they peppered it in there a lot smoother than
I mean, like, now it has to be a cartoon to be dark now.
Yeah.
Like Pixar can start a movie with a woman who can't have kids dying of cancer, and they're like, it's called Up. Look at the balloons. And then you're like,
wait a second.
Okay.
Is that what it's about?
The whole opening montage to Up is about the old man's relationship with his wife who passed away. I'll never forget it because I remember that? It's like that opening montage.
Yes, it's an amazing montage, but I forgot that she couldn't have kids and then died. I forgot that was like a piece to it. So that's why his relationship with the boy is so extra special.
Exactly. Why did you have to explain? Why is this old guy alone with no children? You have to explain that to children. So they do this like whole like thing where it's like her going in. Do we have a baby? No. Okay. So it's like now they put in your head she couldn't have a baby. Then they get to like she goes to the hospital, cancer. Oh, she's dying, and then she dies, and it's like, and then they're like, and now we're off on our fun journey. And it's like, I remember that so well, vividly, because I went on a bachelor party to the Dominican Republic, and I remember we go on the bachelor party. We get super fucked up all weekend. This is before I started doing comedy, I think. And it's like all my college buddies, all inclusive, drinking from plastic cups. They're making triples. And we're just drinking. And you get to that Sunday weirds, Sunday anxiety. And it's like time to take the flight home. And I just remember being middle seat in this like direct flight, you know, from a airplane carrier that you've never heard of before, going back from the Dominican to the New York, and then up comes on the screen, and I'm like 4 seconds into it, and just tears streaming down my cheek, like just, and I'm like trying to like wipe the tears off with like my bicep, like I'm doing like backstroke in the chair, and I'm just like, no, it's totally fine. I'm okay. I'm 23. I should know what I'm doing with my life. And it's like, you're just like so fucked up, and it's like my lasting image.
Yeah, there's movies like that that just get you with no warning. That happened with me with Wonder. I was on a flight to Hawaii, and I was like 6 Mai Tais deep, and then the kid's like, ooh, they don't like my face. And Owen's like, they don't like my face either. We're in this together. I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, look at my fucking nose. And the kid's like, but look at my whole face. Like, and I was just like, and he's like, I don't got any friends. And then, oh, the whole fucking, it was a lot. And then she comes by, she's like, another Mai Tai, Mr. Ray. I was like...
And it's like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm just crying to this Disney original before I get engaged. I'm a man.
Yeah. You are a man. This is my radio segue to transition to the end. You are a man, Jared, and you're a man on a mission. The stand-up special is socially distant. Socially distanced, what again? There's a longer title.
Socially
to it.
Distanced, of course.
Of course. Out available on YouTube. Type in Jared Free plus socially distanced, of course. The podcast is J Train, which is a top comedy podcast that takes concerns and questions and letters from the fans, and you help them. You help them get to the root of what's going on.
We help them. We help them. You're coming on. We're gonna do an episode. It's a blast.
It is a
blast.
Thank
you for having me. And this was a blast. Always a pleasure to talk to you, buddy.
Always a pleasure. You're at Jared Freed on the Gram and the Twitter. And
right.
I don't know if you've signed up for the Clubhouse yet, but
I'm on there, but I don't know. I got
hey,
so
I you know what you said it all by not saying anything. And also the original Clubhouse that I was a part of, I got a couple dollars off a burger and I got a crown, the Burger King Clubhouse. So you know what? I don't like that when people go, are you in the club? And I'm like, 50 Cent style, or like Mickey Mouse, or like did a club reopen? No. The fucking giant conference call. Okay.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
And I know there's like pros and cons to everything, but for now it's a big con. Jared Freed, ladies and gentlemen. Good night, everybody.